Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, brought to you by
AmericanCitizenPress.com, a great conservative website, and Denver Cynogenics and Dr. Julie McCallum. So today, I want to say we have no guests, so we're going to open it up to phones and comments. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. If you want to talk on Zoom, go ahead and unmute yourself and just pop on in, or go ahead and write the comments. I love reading all the comments there. So I wanted to talk about, I've been doing my research this morning.
Very hard.
Very hard. And poor Chuck, I have to keep talking. Well, he had a meeting, but I'm like, listen to this. Yeah. So there is today a series of the past couple of days, the past 48 hours, a series of, I believe, staggering about faces by the CDC regarding COVID. Now, I know you say, well, what's new about that, Julie? It's like, you're right. It's like masks, no masks. You know, the goalposts have been moving. The messaging has been changing. The science has been changing for the past 2 years. But let's just kind of recap. So within the past 2 weeks, Joe Biden initially came out and said, okay, we're in for a winter of misery and death and severe illness, right? That didn't go over very well.
That was not a happy Christmas greeting.
And
to
you had
everyone.
People like Jared Polis undercutting him by saying, okay, the emergency's over. And I'm not doing any mandates. But then,
your local one and 75% of the Colorado population is under mask mandates, but they've extended till February.
Right, exactly. In the meantime, though, Biden came back and said, okay, there's no federal solution. And everyone was like, what? I thought you told us there was. But here's what's happened in the
no solution, but there's I have a federal plan, of course.
Exactly. Even though there is no solution, admitting that plan isn't going to solve anything. But I have plans like that, too, that don't solve anything. I have lots of plans like that don't solve anything. But I want to go through, I want to list them, and then we're going to go through them and talk about it, because I think, and then I want to talk about and get your thoughts on what's really going on here. So the number one thing, not the number one thing, but the first thing that happened is the CDC initially were saying, oh my God, the surge of, surge of cases, 73% of the new cases we've been seeing are due to Omicron. Well, now they've dropped that to 23%. We're going to get into that in a minute because I'm suspicious about
59%
that.
59% decrease.
Exactly. The second thing is, remember, so for the past 2 years, if you got COVID, you had to quarantine for at least 10 days. Not anymore. Nah. Now they just cut it to 5 days. Also, before, if you had to quarantine for a lot of places, a lot of businesses, you were required to get a test before you could come back to work and have a negative test. Right. Don't need to worry about testing anyway.
Forget the
testing. You could be sneezing, vomiting, puking, whatever. But at the end of your 5 day quarantine, back to work for you. And the other thing is, and I think this is an extremely staggering one, according to the CDC website, the government is asking testers to quit using certain PCR tests because they don't work. Go figure, because they can't tell the difference between the flu and COVID.
I never could.
So a lot of significant changes, things that they've been hammering home to us for 2 years that have destroyed the economy, destroyed lives, all of a sudden, just boom, like that, past 40 hours, done. So let's walk through them. So the Omicron, the number of new cases, there has clearly been a surge in cases, but there's also
guess
been-
what?
Surge in testing.
Well, there's also, it's winter time. Well, and there's always a surge of influenza.
Well, let's look at that. There's been a surge of cases, okay? But in the meantime, they sparked this panic over the testing, right? And so you have all of a sudden, people have been not getting tested very much, or just at a regular pace, I guess it's fair to say. All of a sudden, because Biden said we're going to have a winter of misery and death, you got people lining up to get tested in emergency rooms, people asymptomatic or showing up in emergency rooms to get tested. So number one, you've got this massive surge in tests, right? So initially they said, oh my God, now we have 73% of those are from Omicron. Now they've dropped that down to 23%. So I looked into, so what do they mean? How can they tell the difference, right? It's not like you can look a little microscope and you say, ha-ha, blue, that's Delta. Yeah, it's got a D on it, this has got an O. What they have to do is they have to take the tests and send them away to labs where they do something called genome sequencing. And even that, it's kind, I don't want to say iffy, but it's not, again, it's not like there's an O and a D. So they're not sending every test. When you do your little test at home, they don't send that to a lab. So here again, they're extrapolating. Okay. But even then, that's like they suddenly dropped it. You got to ask yourself why.
But not in Colorado.
Not Colorado.
Colorado announced, and you can trust them, of course. Today, 91% is Omicron.
91%. And which again,
you pick your number, which you
can't
like.
Can't be true because it takes, they don't do those genome sequencing tests, boom, like that. They have to take the test. They have to send it away to a lab, right? They have to do the genome sequencing. That takes time. And then they have to get the results back to Colorado. That hasn't happened. I mean, it's only been a few days, right? So one way or the other, once again, they're manipulating the data and the cases. The second thing is dropping the quarantine from 10 days to 5 days. They have terrified people. I know when we had COVID, right? Mm-hmm. We quarantined for 10 days, right? I have a friend who was telling
and
me.
And I can tell you, I mean, it lasted 2 weeks. I mean,
the symptoms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't smell for probably 3 months.
Yeah, well, it certainly lasted, you know, strongly.
Don't need
to
worry about that anymore, though, Chuck. Don't need to worry about it anymore. All of a sudden, though, what happened is, with this new surge of cases and surge of testing, and keep in mind, you have to quarantine whether you're symptomatic or asymptomatic, right? You test positive, you got to quarantine. We now know that the PCR test can't tell the difference from flu, and COVID doesn't matter. You get a positive test. And I submit that for a lot of people, that's a 10-day, you know, paid vacation. And then if your spouse gets it, they don't. I mean, it's just, it was ridiculous. And what was happening, particularly with this freak out over the surge, with all the surge in testing, is airlines were canceling flights, businesses can't open. It messes everything up, including the supply chain. And I'm going to play a soundbite where Dr. Fauci explains.
Your Dr. Fauci,
who, by the way, when he retires, is going to get $350,000 a year, acknowledges it has nothing to do with the science. So, Thomas, if you could.
No, but he represents the science.
He's a science, but it doesn't have anything to do with the science. So, Thomas, if we could play the Fauci soundbite, please.
Why is the CDC now changing these recommended isolation times for people who test positive for the virus? But don't have symptoms. I guess the simple question is, why now?
Well, the reason is that with the sheer volume of new cases that we are having and that we expect to continue with Omicron, one of the things we want to be careful of is that we don't have so many people out. I mean, obviously, if you have symptoms, you should not be out. But if you are asymptomatic and you are infected, we want to get people back to the jobs, particularly those with essential jobs, to keep our society running smoothly. So I think that was a very prudent and good choice on the part of the CDC.
Now, one could ask, why was it not a prudent and good choice 2 years ago, right? They've known this forever. So why all of a sudden? And well, that's because businesses started complaining.
Well, because Delta Airlines said, this is bullshit. You're shutting down all the flights. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, this is from Leo. I haven't heard if we can drop from 3 masks to 2. No, Leo. That's the only thing they haven't changed. And now you have to wear more masks.
People forget the usual course of flu runs is 14 days.
Right. Well, and maybe that's because of flu and cancer, et cetera, were no more than the last 2 years. This is from Sandra. Fauci, it all started with him, who, by the way, with his damn NIH testing that PETA finally did an investigation into. You're right. They found all those puppies. You know, it's all BS and everything makes you angry. Well, that's why I wanted to talk about all this today, to go over this, because we should be angry. Once again, the conservatives, we are being shown to be right about this. The whole thing is manipulation. What's happened, I think, well, we'll get to that in the end. Yeah, let me go through the other things. So we've got now all of a sudden, okay, so the Omicron cases, in spite of what Dr. Fauci just said, are not responsible for 73%, just 23%, in spite of what, you know, Jerry Polis
tells us.
You pick
the number you like.
You pick the, exactly. Meanwhile, they're dropping the quarantine from 10 days to 5 days. And here's where it starts. I have a friend who has a friend
who has a family
who spent Christmas, the whole Christmas holiday, alone in her bedroom upstairs, quarantining for 10 days. Because she had tested positive for COVID, even though she was asymptomatic. So don't even go into how crazy is that, frankly, I think. But all of a sudden, if she had only tested positive for the New Year's holiday, she would be totally fine. I mean, it's just ridiculous. All of a sudden, just like that, no more 10 days, they cut it in half.
Well, to explain it is after 5 days, what happens in the course of the sickness is you get infected, but it takes 2 days for the infections to turn up in symptoms. And then once you have symptoms, 3 days after that, you become more or less non-contagious. But they still say 85%, maybe 90%. I mean, you're still 10, 15% contagious.
But we don't care about that anymore.
But yeah, Delta needs its people. So, screw that.
That's right. Hey, and again, if you want to go ahead and chime in, feel free to unmute yourself and you can talk about this too. Okay, so here's the other thing now that's interesting is, as Chuck said, so you may still have symptoms at the end of 5 days. So should you get a test to see if you test negative to make sure that you can't transmit the virus? Nope. Don't need to do that either. And you know why? Because those silly little PCR tests, you can test positive for up to 12 weeks after.
Which, if you're trying to take some time off and you're a good school teacher, you love those tests.
That's right.
I'm still positive.
That's right.
Man, winter has turned into spring and I'm still positive.
I'm still positive. This is a great
deal. I'll be coming back anytime now from my beach place in Puerto Rico.
Never mind that we closed down schools because of it. Never mind that businesses have had to close, bankruptcies. Never mind the supply chain is destroyed. As of today, okay, forget those silly tests. If you've, after your 5 days, you just get back to work.
There are exceptions to this rule that you should note. If you're a health worker, you have to take a test before you come back. Why is that? Because there's more stringent tests for health workers and they need longer vacations.
Because somehow health workers are more contagious than the rest of us.
Here's part two of this, the exception routine, which is I think a lot of fun. The reason they didn't require the test anymore, because the PCR test can give you a false positive up to 12 weeks that you're not really contagious. It'll say you're contagious, but you're not. However, the antigen test has very few of those qualities to it, and it will tell you with a high degree of certainty that you're still contagious. Well, okay, so why wouldn't, came up with a test, you took your 5 days, why would you take an antigen test?
No testing. Everyone has to get back to work.
And
Dr. Donna, I want to get to your comment here in a second, because I think that's a big thing of what is kind of going on here. Okay, so that's here, though. This is the head of the CDC explaining why, even though up until for the past 2 years, you had to take a test, go back to work, now you don't anymore. So if we could play the no test soundbite, please.
As you know well, the CDC has been criticized for mixed messaging throughout the course of this pandemic, whether it's on masks or on boosters. Why should Americans trust the CDC?
My job right now is to take all of the science and the information that we have and to deliver guidance and recommendations to the American people that is adapted to the science at hand. This pandemic has given us a lot of new and updated science over the last 2 years, and it is my job to convey that science through those recommendations, and that is exactly what we are doing.
Dr. Walensky, we always appreciate your time and expertise. Thank you very
much.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, so we address it. Right, and that was my fault, too. I had sent him the wrong sound, but what she did say is what we were just explaining, that the PCR test shows positive results for up to 12 weeks, and that just keeps
everybody. But the antigen does not.
But she's not talking about that. They're not going to.
Well, I know, but they could say, and right. You should take an antigen in regards to the test you took before, take an antigen now.
Right. And then the final thing is the CDC on its web. Now, you're not hearing much about this in the mainstream media. They don't want to talk about this at all. The CDC website now says that they should quit using not all PCR tests, but some PCR tests, because the PCR tests can't tell the flu from COVID. And so, hence that there were no flu cases last year.
It's all COVID. May have been wondering, like a lot of us have, say, well, how many flu cases were there last year? Oh, none.
So what's the bottom line takeaway from this? And Dr. Donna, I think you had the thing. With the deal with cases, how easy or not it is to contract, it's always known that the virus becomes more contagious while decreasing the harm from it. And then from Leo, more mixed messaging. King Fauci also just said, don't gather at any New Year's Eve celebrations.
And no kissing,
I guess not. So here's what's, Thomas, you didn't play the wrong clip. I sent you the wrong clip. And this from Leo, does she go to Pelosi's hairdresser?
Yeah.
And she goes, Liz Cheney too. They all go to the same place. So here's the thing. So basically, the CDC, what this proves is what we have suspected all along. They have been just lying to us throughout the whole thing to manipulate us, to use cases, to use tests, to use surges, to use whatever to manipulate
hospitalizations,
us.
Ventilations. I mean, how many people they kill who didn't have to be in ventilators? This is shocking to me. Monoclonal therapies are supposed to be very good. The Biden administration is trying to stop them from going to various states. Ivermectin has been shown incredibly effective in India and other places, and it's still called a horse dewormer. Doctors are threatened with their licenses, so they give it. A doctor would be threatened with his license because he's given you something that's been proven effective. I mean, it's just insanity.
Well, and as Dr. Donna points out too, the guy who created the PCR test, it was never intended to be used for this. No. And the reason they've been doing it is what we've been saying all along. Initially, they wanted to do everything they could to scare us to death, to lock down the country, to lock down the economy, to say, oh, here's why we have to have all this mail balloting, all these new election rules. Okay. Yes. All of that, right? In the meantime, then, what's happened is the economy has collapsed. People are over COVID. People are realizing the truth of COVID. The vaccines don't work. I'm going to go back up to that 73% statistic in a second. And the polls are terrible. People are blaming Biden. People hate Biden. And so they're trying to figure out how do they make you love Biden? Right. Well, and the thing is, they're torn between, particularly because the media is like, hey, we aren't giving up COVID. Our ratings are sucking. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah,
we're not giving up COVID, man. That's all we got going for us right now without Donald Trump. So we need to continue scaring people. I worked in the media for 40 years, and we used to joke, although it's really not funny, but it was our job largely to scare people and then reassure them, to say a serial killer is running around your neighborhood, everybody locked down, and then say, oh, nope, they got him. It was, you don't need to be
worried
anymore.
They had him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you do in the media. It's going to snow. It's going to be a tornado. We're all going to die. To, oh, look, it's not even raining, right? and then what do they do? Silly tests like how to protect yourself from porch pirates. It's like porch pirates are going to steal all your presents. And then you reassure people, here's how to protect yourself. Well, you know how to protect yourself from a porch pirate. But that's the job of the media. And COVID has been a gift to them, particularly at a time when Donald Trump isn't around. So the media does not want to give up COVID. You've got all the Karens in the world and the nanny state people and the authoritarian people. They don't want to give up their control either. They don't want to say, so we know all of this. Everything is fine. We don't have to quarantine.
I want to give an impromptu award, though.
Okay.
We're coming to the end of the year. This is a time to recognize people who have been outstanding in their field, whether it's sports, medicine, or whatever else it is. One of the great cultural significances are Karens. We now know who Karens are, and we can identify Karens. Our son goes, you're a Karen. A lot of other times, you're a Karen. Well, Karen of the Year Award, in my mind, and I think she deserves this, you can give it to her in prison, but was the one who went on the airplane flight, I think it was Delta, who struck the 80-year-old guy and spit at him and everything else. Because she wins because that's pretty cool, screaming at somebody, put on your mask.
To be in Playboy.
Well, that's what gets her there. She is a Playboy playmate. She was a Raiderette for the Los Angeles Raiders in Los Angeles.
Colorful career.
And she had some other just great ones. And she's still pretty attractive. And I thought that her performance on that airline, as wonderfully despicable as it was.
It was the perfect Karen.
Oh, man. They don't get any better than that. And she's just slugging away, screaming. She also had Karens do, you know. She had two domestic violence charges piled against her, one in California.
Because her husband wasn't behaving, or her boyfriend, or whatever. Significant other.
Yeah, whoever it was, the pool boy wasn't behaving, and then one in Florida. So she, you know, kept it in sunny states.
Well, she's a trigger temper.
Well, she's got anger control issues, and apparently maybe some liquor problems. She also got a DUI. So I don't know if you guys know a Karen bigger than that woman.
She was a great. She was the epitome, the poster child for Karens.
Wow.
Well, and the thing is, we should all be angry because they have been manipulated, which we know. But I think these four developments this week, I think, really underscore how much they have been manipulating the data. manipulating the information. If 2 weeks ago you had to quarantine for 10 days, and if you didn't, remember, you were selfish, you were killing people, you know, people were screaming at you, you're bad, bad, bad. And all of a sudden now it's like, oh no, you can go back to work after 5 days. And hey, that pesky test to see if you're still, you know, if you're still contagious, don't have to worry about that either.
One test would work and one wouldn't work. We'll just get rid of them all together.
Well, because they realized we didn't need to do any of it, right? We didn't need to do any of it. It was all an effort to control us. And again, you go back to the 73% of the cases. What does that mean? They scare everyone into getting a test. So all kinds of people are getting a test. So of course there's a surge. Now there's not a surge in hospitalizations. Another lie that's out there, they're talking about pediatric hospitalizations. They say COVID scare pediatric hospitalizations are up. But when you read down, the kids aren't being hospitalized because of COVID. They're being hospitalized because of this new flu strain that's going around. And that happens every year, right? Happens every year. I mean, it's sad and you don't want to be the family that's going through it, but it happens every year. So they manipulate the headlines to scare you. I think the other thing.
Well, Dr. Donna wants to know how our award winner, how old is she? Was 70 years old?
No, she was like
51.
51.
Oh, but she looked good. If she didn't look good, she wouldn't have won the Karen Award. But
right.
Looking good, given her background and pedigree, she gets the Karen Award.
Sexist. But here's the other thing, too, that is falling apart in that. Remember just a couple of weeks ago when Jared Polis announced that the emergency is over, right? And that the pandemic was a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
That's right.
And that if you got COVID, now it's your own darn fault. Well, that narrative is falling apart on them too, because all of a sudden, all of these people who are testing positive are people who are fully vaccinated, including Jen Psaki, all the people at the White House. So what's the deal, right? If it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated, how come
all the people are vaccinated?
All the people who are getting it are vaccinated. Yes, there's some unvaccinated, but there is a study out of England that showed in the hospital now with the hospitalization, only 26% of the people in the hospital were unvaccinated, which makes sense because in England, like 90% of the people are vaccinated, right?
Yeah, you walk down the street, they jab you.
Yeah. And so here again, so they've been blaming, you know, the whole thing was you were a racist, illiterate, toothless Trump supporter if you were unvaccinated, and it was your fault the economy was locked down. It was your fault. You were risking killing grandma and all these other people. So you better get your vaccine. Well, that's completely fallen apart. What's happened now is all of the people who are testing positive are people who have been vaccinated. I mean, they're the ones who are scared anyway. So that's right. Probably
Dr.
skewed a little
Donna
bit.
Has an off-topic question for Chuck.
Sure.
What is it? What is the off-topic question?
Dr. Donna, hang on to that. Let me just kind of wrap this up, okay? We'll go into that in about 5 minutes. And exactly right, she mentions this too. No consideration given to natural immunity.
No, of course not.
Well, and again, I go back to they need everyone to be vaccinated because they need to have their liability.
Right.
No liability, right? If they can show that there is, if they don't have a control group of unvaccinated people to compare blood clotting, heart issues, things like that, right? Then they can't conclude that it was because of the vaccine. So this whole thing, though, their narrative that it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated is falling apart. That's why you're seeing stories like in the Washington Post and the New York Times now saying, hey, don't feel guilty if you get COVID. It doesn't mean you're irresponsible. And I think what we're seeing with all of this messaging is how do they deal with all of this, right? They want to still scare us. They want to still have us under their control. They want to still make us wear masks everywhere we go. And yet the vaccines clearly don't work, right? Now, they told us that they worked, but they clearly don't work. So either
don't last long, that's for sure.
Right. They know
that. If they ever did work.
And that's, I think, why some of this, like, they're changing the numbers around. So they want to they're trying to figure out, well, what looks better for them or what looks worse. Does it look worse if they say the vaccine doesn't work against the new variant? So you all have to keep getting boosters. That's a plus for a lot of people, right? Pharmaceutical companies. Or do they want to say, the vaccines just wear off and they don't work? I mean, they're torn. Either the vaccines work, and so everyone getting COVID, the Omicron virus, is unvaccinated, but that's clearly not true. So, I mean, they're trying to figure out what to do with all of this.
It's clear some of these people were recently boosted,
right,
which means they never had any protection. If it doesn't last a day, 2 hours afterward, you're in good shape. This is going to be Russiagate again. Yes. This is going to be this whole thing. And our good,
it's falling apart. Markle Tao called this 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
I know we have to get him back on. Yes. I mean, their narrative is falling apart. So when Jared Polis gets on TV and says, it's your own darn fault if you get COVID anymore, well, that's not true anymore, right? Because the people who are getting it are fully vaxxed. So in the meantime, they still want to try to push everyone to get vaccinated, but you know, they're waffling on that.
Vaccinated for what?
First COVID, exactly. First Fauci says we need vaccine mandates for air travel.
No, yeah,
then
no.
We don't need vaccine mandates for air travel. Then Biden comes out and says, well, Fauci tells me, then we do. I mean, and then meanwhile, Fauci is saying, I know earlier we were following the science, now we're following the pleas from CEOs saying our businesses are totally being screwed up, which goes back to if it's safe today to not have to be quarantined for 10 days, it was safe 2 years ago, right? If the vaccines don't work today, then they aren't going to work a year from now. They didn't work back then. I mean, it's the whole thing. It's just this incredible series of lies. This is from Jacob. Could it be that Omicron are mild cases in South Africa because it's summer there and the virus is spreading faster here because it's colder? Could be, Jacob. But let me tell you, the one thing we do know is they're not going to tell us the truth. No. Whatever they tell us is not going to be the truth.
When Dr. Walensky comes on or Dr. Fauci, I go,
how can we trust you? What a stupid question. It's like, we don't trust you. And anyone who does, we've got some, you know, swampland in Florida. Hey, we've got Barney online too. Hey, Barney, good to hear from you.
Hey, Chuck and Julie. So
Barney, you there?
I got a, yeah, shit. Hang on a minute. Damn it.
Okay. Hang on. All right. Well, all right. We can just wait here. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. Whenever I'm getting ready, right, Chuck?
Yeah.
That's right.
Hey, I'm probably going to piss you off, but okay. 8 months ago, I thought that I had COVID. It was for 3 days. I got sick. I went to bed that night. It felt like, I don't know, it felt like a gorilla was sitting on my chest. I woke up the next day with a headache from hell. But that lasted 3 days. So
that's
December 6th.
What you had was a hangover.
Nobody. Okay.
I mean, you don't get COVID for 3 days. Okay. You don't get the flu for COVID.
Hold on.
You had too much to
hold
drink.
On, Chuck. Hold on.
Let him finish. Barney was Chuck. Okay, go ahead, Barney.
Chuck, I've known people that just blew right through the first COVID wave when it came. They blew right through it. Just hear me out a second.
Yeah.
So December 6th, I was great. The night of December 5th, all good. Woke up in the middle of the night with a freaking headache from hell. Test, but you just name it. Anyway, tested positive for COVID. 4 days of shit. Whoops. 4 days of really bad days. Chuck, I never get sick. I've had the flu a few times in my life. I never call in work. I'm too much of a whatever. Never call in sick. Anyway, 2 weeks, I was down and out. It was ugly. Now, you're not going to like this line. Both brothers have been vaccinated. The older brother came to pick me up, and he was just going to drive right through the parking lot. That's how bad I looked. He's vaccinated. He didn't get it. I stayed at my little brother's house, who's been vaccinated. And look, you try your best to stay away and do whatever, but didn't get any symptoms. So I'm just here to tell you, I'm still not going to get the vaccine. I'm not going to get it, but I think that it works. But all I could tell you is if this is supposedly the Omicron, whatever, let me tell you how bad it was. I took, is it OxyContin? Is that the name of that drug? Can you hear me?
I'm not sure why you take OxyContin for Omicron. You take
because
that
my head.
And you'll feel good.
You take it to get high. Chuck.
Barney.
Julie,
man,
hit that son of a bitch.
You're drinking.
Julie.
You're taking.
Julie, hit him. Hit him. So listen, I took the freaking OxyContin because my head was going to explode.
Yeah.
It didn't phase it. It did, however, my knee that's been jacked up for years actually felt good. But then I quit taking it because the guy I worked for didn't believe I was sick, so he was going to fire me. It's like, oh, I better make sure I can pass a drug test. But the only thing that would take the headache away was Advil. I don't know what to tell you. It was an ugly.
Well, Barney, here's my thing. I think, though, you're kind of proving, so we're not, no, it's not that we don't like it. You're proving the point. Here's the thing. COVID is real. It's a, I believe it's a virus. It affects people. It affects people differently. But the trouble I have is with the CDC changing things, I think these latest revelations make it clear they have they haven't told us the truth about any of it. They've manipulated the numbers. They've manipulated what we should or shouldn't do. They've locked down. I mean, even though you were really sick, and I'm sorry you were sick and I'm glad you're better, do you think we needed to keep all the kids home from school in the country?
No. No, because the kids aren't the... No, right. Absolutely not. You need to take your old people and protect them. But even me at 60, I'm not in the greatest... Not Chuck.
Polish them off.
Chuck.
Polish them off early.
Hey. They're loving... You know what? You say what you want about these bureaucrats, but that little turd, you know what? There's absolutely no reason to mess with the virus. That's chemical warfare. And I'll tell you right now, I can't think of a better reason than to get the black rifles out. These, they love this. They've killed a lot of people. There's a lot more money in the pot. So what I would suggest to everybody is, because health insurance is the biggest ripoff going, quit with the health. If everybody dropped their health insurance, we have some freaking leg room. We'd have something we could do. Drop your health plan. You're paying out the ass for it. They don't. It's a. Most of them are $5,000, whatever the hell you call that. What is it, Julie?
Deductible.
You have to pay the first five. Yeah, deductible. These a-holes. And for that little turd to sit up there, what I would just every day I'd like to get him on the in front of a microphone. Where'd it come from, you little turd?
Right,
why were you
right.
guys messing with this in China? And I guarantee you, you could complain about the Chinese, but we got little pukes in this government that don't give a damn about you and me, and they're just evil little people. And the bottom line is, this is an.
What day did you feel? What day did you feel the first symptoms?
Okay, this is weird. The night of the 5th, I felt great. I went to bed, and it's like, I don't really need to go to bed, but I'm kind of tired. I woke up 3 hours later, and I can't even tell you. The head, the back, the pain was really in my lungs, I think. And I don't even – but here's the thing. I did not have that much of a fever. I really wasn't that congested, and I still, to this day, was not that congested.
You go see your brothers-in-law?
Okay, my brother picked me up the morning of the 6th. That's when I was so bad. He's got health issues. Ran with the window down. I went to my younger brother's, who's another piece of work, but they're both vaccinated. But look, I'd come upstairs. I get some. You know, there's no way he didn't get. You know the whatever.
Some evidence.
But
that
the first
vaccines...
4 days of this, Chuck, Julie. I would never call in sick. When I was young and I was bull riding and I snapped my leg in half and I snapped my arm and I went to work with a broken arm and a broken leg. And I'm not saying fracture, I'm saying broken in half. But what I'm stressing to you is I never call in sick. I never get that sick. And usually if I get the flu, maybe come and work a little bit later, but when you get to work, you feel fine. The first 4 days of this, I had no energy. I couldn't get hardly up out of the bed.
In lieu of Oxycontin, which is a massive painkiller that does not get rid of headaches.
I know that now, Chuck. Thanks for telling me, Dr.
Well, here's my recommendation.
But here's the other part. Did you take ivermectin?
The monoclonal.
No, I couldn't get any. I'd have taken that tube of horse warmer. I'd have shoved it up my whatever. I would have done it. But I couldn't get any. I couldn't get any, Chuck.
Oh, there you go.
You gotta be prepared.
I would have done it in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
We're glad you're better.
You're a good doctor.
Glad you're better. Thank you
for
calling
in. Julie, do me a favor. When you guys go up there, just punch him in the side of the head for me.
Exactly. Here, let me read
Chuck, I don't love you today. I don't love Chuck today, just so you know.
Bye, Barney. Take care.
Goodbye.
This is, Jacob had said, the only science that Fauci believes in is political science. This from Dr. Donda. We hear nothing about RSV, and it kills children and elderly more than the COVID. And Dr. Donda, I think that's what these children, the surge in pediatric hospitalizations is. I think it's RSV and the flu, which unfortunately occurs all the time this year. And to, just to kind of sum up, because I want to switch gears and talk about the lying media. 2021 was the year of exposure, I think. Just to sort of explain, and I didn't do this, but somebody else put together a clip of the evolution of vaccines. So if you have any doubt, when you hear it all put together, you're like, did they really? Because now they're trying to tell you, we never said vaccines were 100% effective. We never saw that.
That's ridiculous.
So take a listen. If we could play Thomas the vaccine evolution bite.
Hey, you're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
These vaccines are highly, highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
They're really, really good against variants.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
Get your first shot, and when you're due for your second, get your second shot.
A key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die.
If you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
You know, we didn't have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmissions. We need a new way of doing the vaccine.
The level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and infected is the same level as the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person.
Reports from our international colleagues, including Israel, suggest increased risk of severe disease amongst those vaccinated early.
And if you look at Israel, which has always been a month to a month and a half ahead of us, they are seeing a waning of immunity, not only against infection, but against hospitalizations and to some extent death. The booster might actually be an essential part of the primary regimen that people should have.
Plan is for every adult to get a booster shot.
Clearly one of the best investments I've ever been involved in.
That's Bill Gates who's invested in all of the pharmaceuticals there. So there you go. Vaccines absolutely work. Get one, you won't transmit to all of a sudden. Well, okay, now we acknowledge that people who are fully vaccinated and boosted are equally getting sick and equally transmitting it. So yeah, just do, you know, just whatever. And by the way, go back to work after 5 days because your employers are getting on our case about it.
Other one that was so great, which really killed the employers, would if you came in close contact with someone who had COVID, even though you're not, you know, you haven't tested or anything, then you also took 10 days off.
Right.
And that was the best deal ever.
I mean,
you just go, I remember I was right down there with Barney the other day and I'm taking 10 days
Barney
off.
Barney was on our show. So now Chuck and I both have to take 10 days off. Or I could milk it. He could take 10 days and then we could stagger it. I mean, the whole thing is just ridiculous. And I think, like you said, Chuck, hopefully somebody, well, people are Alex Berenson, Michael Tao. There are people, Glenn Greenwald, working on this and constantly working. And the trouble is you get exposed. Who was the guy who was warning against, he was banned permanently from Twitter for questioning the effectiveness of the PCR test.
A lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, again, it's the, I think the trouble that they're having, and I think this is the good news for us, is they can't figure out which way to go. It's no longer a pandemic of the unvaccinated, stupid Trump supporters, which wasn't true, by the way. Anyway, now everyone's getting it. People are continuing to get it. Employees have long since figured out, as I would have, that this is a paid vacation. Every time I come in contact with somebody who's got this virus. I mean, you're just, and you're paid vacation constantly, right? And the good news is you're not sick, so you can go skiing, right?
Yeah, no problem there.
So all of this, and they're trying to figure out. In the meantime, the polling is terrible. People are like mad at Biden for not solving it. People are mad that all of a sudden things are being canceled again. Fauci's telling us not to hug and kiss. It's polling terribly. People are worried about the economy. And I think what's going on is, and that's why it's such a mess, is they're trying to figure out how to handle it. Because the one thing I guarantee you is they do not want to take their foot off their throat, right? They want to keep us under control as much as possible. They're just trying to figure out how to do it without making themselves.
Well, and that's going back to your media thing. The media thing is, right. Well, if we don't have Trump and we don't have COVID porn, well, what are we going to do?
So here's switching gears here a little bit. So, and again, 888-627-6008, if you want to come in. This real quick from Jacob. I agree. That's what the pilots are doing. They want to take the last week of December off so they can call their bosses and they have a fever, say they have a fever, instant 10-day vacation. Exactly. Either that or they know someone who has a fever, right? Media. So here's some interesting things. A couple of things to keep in mind. One, in general, the cable TV news, local news, national news viewership has been declining for years. I remember when 5 years ago, it's been gone from Fox for 5 years. And back then they would hold meetings every quarter to talk about the ratings. And
that's local, national.
And that's, Fox, let me just finish. But locally, the new up was just not down too much, right? I mean, it was just declining for a variety of reasons that we can get into it at a different time. So that happens anyway. And as you point out, almost always after a presidential election, the ratings decrease anyway on these national cable shows. Right?
Right.
Oh, before I get that, we got another caller. We got Rocco.
Rocco.
From, I think I'm pronouncing it right. Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for calling us.
Hey, Chuck and Julie. How you doing?
Good. Is it Rocco?
Yep, Rocco's right. I think you're talking about Alex Berenson, who was banned from Twitter. One of a few fairly prominent people. And I believe Robert Malone, doctor. Yep.
Just banned today.
Banned from Twitter because he said something that, they didn't like, but it was all very well established, and they were reasonable questions and reasonable points. But those two people.
Right. Well, what do you think about that? I mean, to me, that's like their messaging is all over the place, but they want to make sure that they're the one who says it. And there's only certain people who can say things. So, the CDC can get now say that vaccines don't work. But if you or I try to say it, we'll be banned from Twitter forever.
Right. Well, there are so many complicit people and institutions in all of this. These are really dark times, and have been for quite some time, past couple of years. And I think it's challenged the mental health of many people. Yes. I've been fairly lucky. I've got a supportive spouse. You two seem like
lucky.
You support each other pretty well on this, And I have a level of independence and, with my finances and my career where I don't have to answer to someone who's going to force me to undergo an inoculation against my will. But think about the hundreds of thousands of people who've been coerced, at least hundreds of thousands of people in this country who've been coerced into getting this rush to market stuff injected into them. These are dark times. I think it's good. I listen to you guys off and on and have since you were on your the radio. I appreciate your humor. But I know you sense it. This is a tragic turn this country's taken and the culture's taken.
No, I agree. And I think, one of the things we can do is on the show, obviously, we keep talking. People like you listen and call in. And I think, like you said, that we each continue to make our own decisions. Am I going to get the vaccine or not? Based not on, what like Mike Rosen tells us or what Dr. Fauci tells us, but talk to your own doctor. Right. I mean, the same way you make every other health decision in your life. And I think
just make sure you got the right doctor.
But I think, though, I agree with you that they're very dark times. Very scarily dark times. But I also think there is a lot of hope out there because people are waking up. I mean, it's a joke, but Matrix joke. But I mean, people have taken the red pill. They've had it forced down their throat. And you can't unsee what we've been seeing these past couple years. And that, I think, gives us reason for hope.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. More skepticism is a good thing overall. Listen, before I go, well, first off, I want to tell you Happy New Year. And secondly, I want to give you and your listeners a website to go to. And maybe you've mentioned this. I just discovered it today. It's CanadianCOVIDCareAlliance.org. CanadianCOVIDCareAlliance.org. And go to the media section. You'll see at the top, there's a link that says media, and they have several videos that are really well done. And you basically get to see, I believe it's the second video questioning the efficacy of the of these vaccinations, in particular the Pfizer vaccine. Which they don't use the word vaccine. They say it's an inoculation because it does not meet the classic definition of vaccine, even though CDC changed their definition. But CanadianCOVIDCareAlliance.org, and really, really well done stuff. It's peer review is what it is.
All right. Well, check it out. Rocco. Hey, thank you. Thank you for calling. Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you for listening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I'm seeing on here, Charlene was saying that half the people she knows are sick right now, cough, tight chest, low grade temperature. You know, I know my daughter's boyfriend runs an acupuncture clinic, and he said he's been seeing a lot of sick people too. Now he says the people he's seeing are not COVID. At least they have negative COVID tests. So again, this is a time of year where colds just go around. And I think what we have to do is be careful. And once again, have common sense, right? You don't lock down the economy. You don't lock yourself in your bedroom for 10 days because you have a cold. If you're sick, clearly don't go out and sneeze on the produce or the grocery store or something like that. But the same way we've always done it. What we don't have to do, though, is succumb to, you know, the government control and the nanny state and the Karens that are trying to destroy our lives and take over our lives. Back to the media, though, because I wanted
to,
there's some kind of funny bites on this, too. The ratings, though, are down. I was starting to preface say they go down this time anyway. But in the past year, okay, Fox is down 38%, except for Tucker Carlson and Gutfeld. MSNBC is down 54%. CNN is down 65%. And in the key demographics, the 25 to 54-year-olds, that's the one the advertisers like. CNN is down 72%.
Well, that leaves like 12 people.
And keep in mind, exactly, that's a thing. This becomes worse and worse. And I mean, you're talking about a smaller and smaller population. I mean, CNN has not for a year, I think, hit 1 million viewers at a given time, right? I mean, like they said, YouTubers in their basement do more than that.
Joe Rogan, do that better than that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's insane. And I say a large part of it is because what 2021 has done is expose clearly to a lot of people all of the lies that the media is telling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so if we could, Thomas, please play the soundbite, the media lies soundbites. Fox put this together and it's pretty interesting.
If we had listened to them instead of doing our own research and questioning those in charge, things would be really different. Here's just a few examples of what they tried to get us to believe this year.
Critical race theory. It's a boogeyman. It's not even taught in most K through 12 schools.
January 6th was worse than 9/11.
We know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person.
Joining me now is Victor Davis Hanson, Hoover Institution Senior Fellow and author of Dying Citizen. Victor, I mean, Rachel Maddow said it. It must be true that if you've gotten vaccinated, no chance. It stops right there.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be too cynical, Jason, but I don't think the media exists as we once knew it. It's fused with the left-wing movement and the Democratic Party, and that's why Trump had not been in office more than 90 days, and the liberal Shorenstein Center at Harvard said that 93% of the coverage was biased against him. And we had prominent marquee journalists, Christiane Amanpour, Jim Rittenhouse, Jorge Ramos. They said they couldn't be disinterested because of the Trump phenomenon. And so if you would believe the media, then we heard that Andrew Cuomo was a professional and gifted governor. Chris Cuomo was a professional journalist. There was no relation between the Wuhan level 4 lab and the origins of COVID. The Chinese were very sober and judicious in the way they handled the outbreak. We were told that somehow in Waukesha, There was an autopilot SUV that killed six people and injured 62, but we didn't really know much about the driver or what. We were told the Rittenhouse trial, where there was white-on-white violence, was simply about race.
I mean, and he goes on and on and on. And I think the good news is, though, when you look at that combined with the ratings down, and I'll let you make the point because you made it, is that the conservative media audiences, like in shows like this and Rumble and Steve Bannon War Room are growing. And so go ahead and explain why you think that's so important.
I forgot. What did I think it said?
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. Thank goodness for Chuck that I'm around to remember his brilliance. What he said was, is we now have more people, even Democrats and independents, listening to conservative media shows than the unhinged left shows. Fox beats MSNBC and CNN combined almost all the time anymore. So that means that there are now more people actually listening to Tucker Carlson say that the January 6th was not an insurrection worse than 9/11. It was actually an FBI plot. There are more people listening to that. And that's why I think things might get a little hairy here, because that's freaking them out as they're starting to realize that.
Well, they've controlled the media since, I don't know, the 1930s. But the left has been at center left, has controlled the media. And when they only had three stations and PBS, they dominated all those places. And they were biased, but they hid their bias and they didn't try to sound too biased. And if the people were believing something else, they had to kind of follow them. But all that's gone. And their abilities of the Washington Post and New York Times and the Denver Post and I don't know, Colorado Politics and everything else to influence people has really decreased enormously. And to the extent that Fox and websites on the right, where you don't get the feeling they're deliberately lying to you. Now, they may be biased and they may be, you know, full of it, quite frankly, but they're not sitting there like Rachel Maddow. Rachel Maddow is a very bright person saying that, oh, Russiagate, yes, absolutely. Well, I mean, they're just lying to you.
Deliberately
face, and
lying,
you know it,
and they know that they're lying. And yes. Not only that, but you look at particularly some of the Yahoo News, the BuzzFeed, the places, the organizations, Washington Post that were involved in the Russia hoax. Not only do they know they're lying, they are a willing part of distributing the lie and creating the lie. And the good news is the Washington Post, I see their online distribution is down like 54%. The New York Times, same thing too. I mean, like, so, I mean, you know, tons of people, hundreds and hundreds of people who used to look to them for news are no longer looking to them for news.
Now, for years, I got the New York Times delivered to the office every day.
And so when you think of all the time and effort and money that the Democrats and the progressives and George Soros have been pouring into trying to influence the media, and instead it is back 2020, they just went over the ledge and it's backfiring and blowing up in their face, and people have become it's been shown to be a lie. And
Russiagate, you just go through.
Go down the list of things, right, that have been shown to, you know, Hunter Biden laptop, not Russia disinformation. No, it's all true. And again, the good news is, though, and this is where, again, I have hope, you know, people, you know, once you take the red pill, you can't undo it, right? Once people see, well, they lied about this, well, maybe they're lying about that. Now, a lot of people just flat out turn it off then. But on one hand, so they're not getting that propaganda. And I think a lot of those people are turning to alternative news sources that they think might at least give them a semblance of at least truth.
We're
straight
almost
up.
Out of time, but I've got to read this one. Sandra, to everyone, media mania is a great topic. I see that your time is getting short. We hope we will take this up again. Love your show. Actually, you two are my favorite show. You are the best. Thank you. What a nice thing.
Sorry. Thank you. And Dr. Donna, I saw your comment. Go ahead and send me an email and we'll talk about that. You guys are the best too. Yes. Hey, we have a great show coming up for New Year's Eve.
Well, tell Barney, if he's not still on, that we've got his favorite guest coming up.
Yep, Ted Tripp is going to be on Friday.
He said, be sure you tell Barney that I'm coming on.
Actually, Ted did say that, Barney. Ted is like, he's working the audience there. And also, we're going to have Chuck and the merry band of men and women to kind of update you on their year's worth of efforts, too. And there's some good news on that front.
Yes, sir.
And it's Party Friday. And Leo, I think we will go ahead. I think I'm going to bring down a bottle of champagne. So if you guys want to have champagne, too, that works for us. We will see you all on Party Friday. Remember, chuckandjulie.com is where you can get everything. And Thomas, thank you for running the board today. You did a great job.
Thank you,
everybody. See you Friday.